Grace and peace be unto you from God, who is our Creator, and from Jesus Christ, who is our Savior and our friend. Amen. So I'm going to share something with you. I read it, but this person was writing about a memory that they had, a woman named Kate Penny Howard, who's a speaker, a theologian. So this is what she wrote. Years ago, a consultant came to a church that I served as a student, and he said something that I'll never forget. The man was an expert with decades of experience. As we walked up the stairs to the reception after worship, he noticed that our elevator had broken. It had been broken for a long time. Someone had needed it once, but nobody needed it now, so the choice was never made to fix it, which means in a broken system that the choice was made to leave it broken. The food was blessed and served, and our guest rose and addressed us. Your broken elevator is a sign of two things. One, your congregation is dying because you're choosing your comfort over hospitality and the dignity of others. I'm the father to a child whose mobility depends on a wheelchair. And two, I know that you don't love my son and you don't want him here. I'm glad I didn't bring him with me today. Well, the room sputtered. People reached for excuses, but someone would carry him up to the reception, they said, as if a stranger's arms could stand in for a working elevator. They can't. Charity asks the excluded person to be grateful for a favor. I'll just give you this and then you're grateful. Access, not charity, but access, asks nothing of them at all because the door was never shut. The elevator was always working. For example, she continues, a church can let a wheelchair through the front door and call itself accessible, while the only usable bathroom is downstairs. Speaking as myself, now I served that congregation. I served a congregation like that. Fortunately, the issue was raised and we had some conversation and went ahead and made the bathroom accessible, not just the worship space. A congregation can become RIC and genuinely welcome LGBTQ+ siblings, but still prefer that the church not talk about queer issues, and because they don't want to be political. And of course, queer issues and queer rights are inherently political. You can't talk about them without being political. So a congregation also might prefer to be RIC, but to not talk about, like, just queer stuff, because it makes them uncomfortable. They prefer a kind of don't ask, don't tell situation. I mean, we are glad you are here. Come on in, have a seat. Join a committee, that would be great. But, like, don't tell me too much about your gay life. It's just a little too much for me, right? I also served a congregation like that in the past, and I am not sure that they ever changed. Howard, the woman I was quoting at the beginning, calls this the logic of minimal accommodation. Did you get that? The logic of minimal accommodation. It's accommodation dressed up as generosity. Accommodation is handed to the excluded person as a gift, and they're expected to be quiet and also grateful. You know what, friends? There is nothing minimal about God or the glory of creation or the blessing of being alive on this earth. God is never about the minimum. God is all about the overflowing grace, soaked maximum. The banquet table in the reign of God is never set with only a slice of bread and a bowl of thin soup, just enough to stave off hunger. No, the banquet table is filled. There is fruit and bread and soup and main dishes and dessert and water and wine. The banquet table is filled with enough so that everyone there is filled, and with more so that there is also enough to send a portion to those who have nothing. And that's Nehemiah 8:10. Have a portion and send it to those who have nothing. There is nothing minimal about the ministry of Jesus Christ or the ministry to which he calls us. Jesus healed, fed, forgave, and welcomed all comers, right? Anybody who came. In today's gospel lesson from Matthew chapter 10, Jesus says in verse 40, "Whoever welcomes you welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me." The inverse of that is that we are to welcome others as if we were welcoming the very God who made them and who sent them to us. Who is God sending to us? And how shall we welcome them? With minimal accommodation, just enough. And then they're supposed to stay quiet and be grateful for being allowed to be here. Or with maximum welcome, in which we embrace the whole person and their lives and concerns, and we learn from each other, and together we grow into something new that neither of us was before. Which one is God's way? You may answer now. Which one is God's way? Huh? The maximum! I have a very good friend with whom I have been friends for 29 years, and his name is Brad. And he is many wonderful things, including gay. And years ago, during a conversation about churches opening up to queer people, he said something that has stayed with me always, and I have repeated it often. And if I were to be here for a long time, you would hear me say it again. He said, "Diane, I don't want to be tolerated. I want to be celebrated." Woo, yes. I don't want to be tolerated. I want to be celebrated. Oh, my goodness. That's what we all want. It's what we all want. My 7-year-old is filled with energy and hijinks and breaks out in spontaneous dancing. And he deserves more than to just be tolerated, right? Okay, honey, now be quiet. When his high spirits lead to gymnastics in the living room, flips over the couch, the gift that I can give him is to celebrate with him by watching and laughing and delighting in the light that he carries inside. That's the gift. That's what I can give. That's what he needs. I will admit that celebrating a child's energy can be tiring, but still, that's what we're supposed to do. My parents are in their 80s, and their hearing is not great. Neither of them likes to wear the hearing aids, so, you know. And their bodies do less than their bodies used to. So, they're in their 80s, hearing not great, bodies do less than they used to. Notice that both of those observations frame old age in terms of loss. Said they're older, and look, here are two things they can't do anymore. Climb the stairs, hear clearly. But older people deserve much more than that to frame your age as loss. You deserve to have your wisdom and your kindness and your generosity celebrated. These are the gifts of old age. So what if it takes you longer to get from here to there? So what? You are wise and generous. You are kind. What does it mean to offer not minimal accommodation, but maximum welcome? to our queer siblings, to not just tolerate, but to celebrate. So let's start with this. Being, it's LGBTQ, right? Lesbian, gay, bi, trans, or queer. And then there's also IA. But anyway, LGBTQIA+, in and of itself is a gift. Being that is a gift. And the gifts that result from being queer should be recognized and welcomed and celebrated. And what are some of those gifts? If you are a queer person and you grew up in this culture, I'm going to glance at you, I'm sorry. It's okay. All right. I'm just glancing in your direction. I'm speaking to everybody now. If you grew up in this culture and heard the hateful words that so many churches have said, and yet you are a seeker and a churchgoer and a God lover, then you have, by God, strong faith. Strong faith. Your faith is authentic. You have resilience. My goodness, what a gift and a model such faith is to the larger community. The community is better and stronger for it. Let the little children learn faith from you. If you are a queer person and you grew up in a family that didn't fully accept you, or in an era that did not allow you to marry or to be an ordained pastor, or that not, some states did not allow you to foster or adopt, you have developed an expansive and beautiful definition of family. Because you know what it is to be on the outside and you welcome people in, and your home is a safe place for your chosen family, for your adopted family. What a gift this is, not only to your chosen family, but for the community. We must all learn to broaden our definitions. Broaden our definitions and value not just biology as family, but commitment and love. If you are a queer person and you grew up in this culture in which in most situations you had to be on guard, watch what you say, be careful for your physical and emotional safety, and yet you have come to practice vulnerability and to dwell in trust, then you have come close to the Spirit of Jesus Christ. You have discovered yourself and learned to love yourself, and that love is deeply rooted. This kind of vulnerable love is the way that Jesus loves us. And living in trust is the very nature of the relationship that Jesus calls us to. In the words of Father Shannon Kearns, queer folk understand resurrection. That's life out of death. Life out of death. Queer folk understand resurrection. The faith, family, vulnerability, and trust of queer folk has been tested. It has been chosen. It was fought for, and it's been won. When it is shared as a gift to the whole world, and particularly to the church, what a gift, and we need that. How shall we receive those whom God has sent to us? With minimal accommodation or with maximum welcome? The answer is maximum, of course. We don't tolerate, we celebrate. We receive those whom God has sent just as God receives us, with an overflowing, grace-soaked joy that they have arrived, because without them we were not complete. And that we are all here. Thank goodness, finally, we are all here. We are together. That it's no longer us receiving them, it's just us. It's just us. And that together we are family. And that we live in trust. And we are God's own. Amen.